At North Point Executive Suites, we provide office and virtual solutions to fit every business need. And technology-enhanced turnkey offices, you'll enjoy all-inclusive rates without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Our service is second to none. Visit our privately owned locations in Alpharetta or Duluth and see for yourself. Call us at 678-242-5200 or visit northpointexecutivesuites.com. At North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success.
Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio at North Point Executive Suites, it's time for North Fulton Business Radio. North Fulton Business Radio is presented by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio here on Business Radio X. I am merely Mike Sammet alongside the incomparable John Ray. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Congratulations, by the way, in your other job as president of the Alpharetta Business Association. You had your opening weekend for the farmers market this past week.
We had a great weekend, and thanks to you and Ashley and Trey for being out there with Business Radio X and interviewing our great vendors. They had a great time being with you. So thanks for doing that.
Well, and thank you for ordering great weather as well. It was perfect, wasn't it?
The weather was perfect. It was true ABA weather, right? For great weather in Alpharetta on the opening day for farmers market. So,
yep. Apparently Mother Nature is a member of the ABA.
Mother Nature is a member of the ABA, which just shows how eclectic we are in our membership.
There you go.
I've got all my other hats listening members right now, don't I?
That's right. That's right. Well, we've got three great guests here in the studio, some businesses we're going to learn all about. Joining us on the show is Joe Iarocci with Cairnway, Dave Bernard with the Intellection Group, and Angela Ellington with Moistura Silk. Did I get that right, didn't I? For everybody. Three for three.
We are on a roll.
All right. I'm going to let you take over for this point forward.
It may go downhill from there, but no. Let's try.
All right. Let's start the show with Joe from Cairnway. Joe, you are the founder of the company. And well, tell us about Cairnway and what does your company do?
Cairnway is a collective of people that promote servant leadership in the workplace. To call it a firm would be a little too stuffy. We think of ourselves as a collective, and we are all about helping businesses be better at leadership and practice servant leadership.
All right. So you look at servant leadership. What does that mean? Put our arms around that. What are you talking about?
Servant leadership is a powerful approach to achieving common goals in which the leader acts to serve those who are led. It's not like traditional leadership where it's all about the person at the top. It's about the followers. It's about measuring your success by the success of those you serve.
So you work with businesses. And how do you work with businesses?
We work with businesses to introduce them through workshops and trainings and events. We work with executives through executive coaching and sort of everything in between.
What's the difference, Joe, between servant leadership and just leadership, I guess, as people would normally think of it?
So servant leadership as approach is distinguished by two things, Mike. First, where you start. Servant leaders start with a deep desire to serve others. It comes out of the heart. And it's not about me. It's about those that I want to serve. The second thing that distinguishes servant leadership from lots of other leadership approaches is the fact that the servant leader looks at who she or he serves broadly. Right? So it's about making the world a better place. I'll give an example. The coach of the Atlanta Falcons, if he took Dan Quinn, if he took a traditional leadership approach, it might just be about him or maybe serving Arthur Blank, his boss. But if he takes a servant leadership approach, he sees things broadly. I serve the team. I serve the fans. I serve the vendors at the stadium. I serve the National Football League. I serve the city of Atlanta. And that's the kind of broad way that servant leaders look at things.
So you guys do coaching and workshops, and you try to teach that kind of leadership to business leaders.
Correct.
Okay.
So, Joe, leaders are supposed to lead, right? So help me understand if leaders are supposed to lead, how do I work with, be a servant to all these folks that I'm supposed to be leading? How does that work? Because that seems a little contradictory, maybe.
It does to some people, John, but when you think about it, it's not at all. So a servant leader has a goal, it leads people to it, but it's not about the leader. It's about the achieving the mission. It's about serving the people. And in a servant leadership context, especially at work, it's about the development of your team, the development of others, building trust. It's not about being soft or wimpy or anything like that. In fact, you might be surprised to learn that the United States Air Force Academy is based, its leadership training is based on servant leadership. The U.S. Navy SEALs, their leadership approach is based on servant leadership. The United States Marine Corps, where they say officers eat last, is based on servant leadership. And there's nothing soft about those organizations.
No question about that. Now, let's get into some specifics about what all this really means in practice. What does servant leadership mean to me as a business owner day to day?
Well, servant leadership is about results, and some of the best companies in the world embrace it. So here in Atlanta, you might know Chick-fil-A is very, its leadership approach is deeply grounded in servant leadership. Southwest Airlines, it was founded, its strategy is servant leadership. Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen up near here is their leadership theory is servant leadership. So it's about results. It's about the bottom line, but it's not just about economic results. It's about the growth and development of people. It's about planet. It's about helping both the community you're situated in and those who work for you and your shareholders. So servant leaders are particularly good at things like listening. They listen first. They're particularly good about asking questions and being quiet and listening to the answers. They seek to persuade rather than order people around, right? Traditional leadership's about the wielding of power. Servant leaders are about persuasion and influence. So it's a different way of doing it. And the companies that do it, I could give you a big long list. I'd invest in them if I were you.
So there is a direct correlation between implementing servant leadership successfully and the bottom line, and if you're a public company, stock price?
Absolutely. And there's studies that show that. If you look at the Fortune Best Places to Work list, the ones that have been on it longer, I've been to many of their headquarters, they practice servant leadership. The companies with the highest employee engagement's terrible in the U.S. workplace. 30% of the people are engaged. But those that practice servant leadership have much higher employee engagement.
We're talking with Joe Iarlocci with Cairnway here on North Fulton Business Radio. And Joe, do businesses seek you out? Do you go find businesses? How does a company know maybe it needs your assistance?
Well, oftentimes the ones that need my assistance are the ones that don't know it. Being self-aware, both personally and organizationally, is kind of one of the servant leadership traits. People hear about us. You know, people have heard the term. People are drawn to it from different angles, and they reach out to us in all the ways that other firms get reached out to, where we have a big social media presence and an active website, and we blog every once a week, and we're trying to promote this stuff to make the world a better place. Look, so much of our life is spent at work, right? The American workforce, these days there's very little work-life distinction, so we're trying to change the world at work.
All right. You're the founder of the company, so I'd like to know more about Joe and your background and what led you to start this company and where you are today.
I was a Wall Street lawyer in the 1980s. I learned everything I needed to know about abusive behavior and bad leadership there.
Now, are you being serious? You're joking.
I'm serious. I was a Wall Street lawyer in the 1980s. And over time, I came to work for CARE, the big poverty fighting organization here in town, as the general counsel. And I learned there that the solution to any big problem in the world, poverty, climate, whatever, you pick it, is not money, not human resources, not technology, it's leadership. So I became super fascinated by that. And then I, looking back on my own career, where I've just had so many bad bosses, I've had a lot of good ones too, I should say, but I've had plenty of bad ones. I said, you know, I'm going to dedicate this next phase of my life to advancing this stuff.
So Joe, how does someone work with you? Talk about that. How does someone engage with you? I mean, what do you do? I come to you with my company and say, Joe, I need some help in this category or this subject. What would you do with me?
Well, the first thing, John, is we have to kind of figure out where you are on the journey, right? So this is a journey. You're never there. You're always continuously improving. So some companies are quite far down that road in the journey, and some aren't. So phase one is to try to assess where you are through some, you know, not surprising assessment tools. Secondly, we would do introductory work to get, you know, to get the ideas out there and see how they're received. It's very important that this not be dropped. If you're the president of the company, you can't just send out a memo and say, today we're a servant leader company. It doesn't work that way. Not surprising. And then we kind of usually, will, you know, a larger company will cascade it through different levels of management. And sometimes we work with individuals as coaches.
So we've got a lot of business owner entrepreneurs as listeners. These are hard-driving folks that are used to making decisions.
Right.
So, you know, how does someone like that that's, you know, owns 100% of the business, how do they implement some of the ideas that you're talking about? And I guess create that change in their head because they're used to, like, driving it forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, sometimes, first to say, it's not right for everybody. There's some people that are going to be, you know, some they're jerks and will always be jerks, okay? So let's just recognize that. My experience with founders, right, if they have been successful, will likely have some elements in their company. They'll be thinking about succession, right? What happens when I die? How do I keep that DNA strong? Or if it's a merger or something like that. So we do a lot of work where companies are trying to preserve that servant leadership DNA. It's a little bit more rare where somebody wants to isn't already down the road.
Yeah, and my guess is that you have entrepreneurs that maybe need to get knocked on the seat of their britches, to use a technical term, and they're looking for.
That's not exactly how we'd say it in New York, but okay.
Yeah, well, you know, we're here in Georgia, right? They're looking for a different approach, maybe.
Yeah,
yep. Is that a profile of the kind of client that would come to you?
Very much so. And a lot of people come to it out of a faith background. You know, it's a secular concept, but a lot of people have this in their lives, you know, their worship lives. So it resonates in that respect with them. And it's really about practicing it more consciously and consistently. The good leaders that you're describing, I'm sure they do practice servant leadership, but maybe not as consciously and consistently as they might.
Well, this is obviously very interesting stuff. The biggest question I'm going to ask you right now, the most important question for those that would like to reach out, find out more and look into maybe learning more about servant leadership and using your services and maybe transforming their business, their company. How can they get in touch with you?
Our website is ServeLeadNow, ServeLeadNow.com. Come to the website. We have a great free ebook that's just come out. You can download that and it'll give you an introduction to servant leadership in the workplace.
And to have a conversation, a consultation, is there a cost involved?
Of course not.
Okay, just double checking. You never know.
Yeah, no. We love, you know, we're a group, we love doing this stuff. We do it, you know, all day long for free, but not put that on the radio.
What do you enjoy? Well, too late now. What do you enjoy most about what you do?
What I enjoy most is when you meet a leader, maybe a senior leader, who has been trained to be a jerk, right? You learn to be a good leader and you can learn to be a bad leader. And you'll be in a session where you'll almost see a light bulb go off over her or his head. I don't have to be a jerk. I can be, you know, my real self, and I can be a servant leader. And that's really quite gratifying.
Great stuff. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great.
All right. Joe Iarocci with Cairnway here on North Fulton Business Radio. John?
And Mike, speaking of great leaders, Maria at Fairtech, right?
Yeah, she's definitely she'd be a servant leader.
She would be.
Yeah.
I mean, she comes right to mind. And Maria is the CEO owner of Fairtech. And Fairtech is your one source for all toner supplies, printers, copiers, and computers. Whether you need service or repair on your hardware, or you're looking to find the best price and quality on toner supplies, Fairtech has a skilled and knowledgeable team to help you and your company. Contact them today to see how they can help you. They are waiting for your call at 770-482-1188. Fairtech, great people and remarkable service.
All right, John, our next guest here on North Fulton Business Radio from the Roswell Infinity Studio is Dave Bernard. Dave is with the Intellection Group. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. I'm really glad to be here. It's going to be fun.
Well, we're really glad to have you and find out more about the Intellection Group. What does your company do?
Well, you know, quite simply, we sell comfort. That's really what we do. Technology pervades business so much, but it's also a bit of a problem for a lot of businesses and how they best leverage it. And a lot of times, a bad implementation of technology can sink a company. So a lot of what we do, we solve really hard technology problems for our customers and enables them to get on further with their business than they would have normally done. So it's really taking a very big problem off their shoulders and putting it on our shoulders, and we carry it for them. So comfort actually is a very big part of what we sell. What's interesting is I think our focus has become over the years, those kind of companies that are believe in investing in innovation to stay ahead and keep ahead of their competition. All of our customers, I would say, are market leaders in their niche. So these are there. So they're leaders, but they are also stuck in a place where there's no off-the-shelf software that'll do what they want it to do, because everything's so very particular to their business. So what we do in a nutshell is we build those systems.
So you're developing software. You're not just coming in and we're, I'm having problems with my computer. Can you help me? You're not just an IT company.
No. We partner with IT companies, but we're not one of those. So what we do is we typically get the hardest problems for people to solve, that people need solved. That's what we do. So we may have a Wall Street private equity firm, and there's no software out there to run a global private equity firm right now. It doesn't exist. Well, we've built one for them. So that doesn't exist. We might be hired by the U.S. Army, for example, to build a personnel management system for a foreign military, because it doesn't exist in that country.
It almost sounds like, Dave, that you're the last resort. Like companies have tried other, you know, they've tried this company, they've tried an IT company, they tried this software company. You're like the last resort.
And we are.
Finally, you know, you're the one that figures it out.
That's a good characterization. We always are the last ones in there. And there's a burden that comes with that, because they've had failures with all these other guys and they are looking at us askance. We're just another one in a long line of possible failures. And we have to convince them that our approach is unique, it's going to be effective, that we've got a track record for doing these kind of things. We've seen a lot of people struggle with trying to make off-the-shelf systems fit. And for off-the-shelf systems fit in a lot of businesses. You know, our biggest question, the biggest question we answer for a lot of companies is whether you buy or build. And building is not for everybody. It can be painful.
Right.
You know, so we've done 75 projects over the last 14 years of all sizes, most of them rather large. And we've worked with about 150 different organizations.
I think it would be really helpful for our listeners and for me as well, if you could maybe give us an example, a specific example. A company was having this problem, and here's how you guys came in and saved the day.
Well, I'll talk about the global private equity, the most acquisitive private equity company on earth. They buy and sell more companies than anyone. And they were, when we met them 10 years ago, they only had domestic offices. They had about 8 domestic offices. And they wanted to move into Europe and Asia to buy companies. The currencies. And how do you do all your calculations and level the currency calculations at the same time? They're a very large boutique, about a $6 or $8 billion a year boutique PE company. So everything is highly custom. Every fund they raise has different parameters, has different kind of thesis about what they invest in. So they actually were running the whole company on a massive Excel ecosystem. And they took one look at that and said, we don't know how on earth we're going to put a multi-currency handler into this. I got introduced to them because they were getting a little desperate. They had gone through a couple of attempts at this. One was kind of more or less rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, a better way to manage Excel. I'm like, well, that's not going to work. So we actually proposed to them a small project that they could take to their investment community and see if they liked it. And it was a huge hit. And ever since then, we've been working with them. We've been working with them, for 10 years now. They can manage, so right now they have 10 offices overseas and 9 here in the U.S., so 19 offices. They do a deal about every 10 days. About every 10 days, they buy or sell a $10 to $200 million company. And they manage about 15 funds at any given time. And all this traffic going on is managed by this one system. And they can see everything in it. And there's not another one like it. There is no competition for the system anywhere.
You know, Mike, when I hear Dave describe a $6 to $8 billion company that's run off an Excel platform, that tells me
surprised.
We'd be shocked to hear the way some of these companies, if you looked under the hood, what drives them?
All of Wall Street's run off Excel. I'm sure Joe can attest to that. It's still, they're all running off of Excel.
I don't think Excel was invented when I was on Wall Street, but I'll take your word for it.
So, but talk about some of the other maybe typical companies you work with, because it sounds like, I mean, $6 to $8 billion, that's getting on to be a pretty
they're
good
size. They're
on the
size. Higher side. Yes.
It sounds like companies that are big enough that they've tried a whole lot of things and maybe they've got a patchwork of software issues where they've tried to put things together and they're just not working.
Yeah, I think a lot of our work has been in the startup community or young company community. One of our clients here, also been with them about 10 years, is a company here in Atlanta called Jigsaw Meeting. And we've built all their technology. It's an online education delivery platform. It's the most advanced such platform in the world. Some very prominent organizations run everything, all their online education delivery on it. It scales to hundreds of thousands of simultaneous users, and it can handle any kind of media. Lots of video, lots of audio, conference calling, integrated whiteboarding, all those kind of things. We convert all uploaded media to streaming technology. It's very, very hard thing to pull off. But that's the kind of stuff we get. And they're very successful. In fact, you know, they could easily turn that into an even broader collaboration tool, such as in telemedicine and things like that. That tool is very, very good for that.
We're talking with Dave Bernard with the Intellection Group here on North Fulton Business Radio. I see here in the notes, Dave, that you work with some, you have some non-business activities that your company's involved with. What does that mean?
Yeah, a lot of it is, a lot of it kind of goes back to some of our method of selling. We're a complex sale organization. We have to be top of mind with all of our prospects like all the time, because they're not going to go Google somebody out on the internet to do something that's totally mission critical to their system or to their company. So they're going to ask their friends, they're going to want to get a referral, they're going to want to know somebody's got a track record. So we do a lot of networking. And in the process of that, because we're problem solvers, we come across problems outside of technology that we think we can apply technology solutions to. So some of those, one of those is that we are currently working diligently with the homeless shelters downtown. The big homeless shelters, and we're working on a plan. There's a consortium of us to implement education systems into those places to accelerate the eradication of homelessness down there. I've spent a lot of time in the past on education and corrections as well on a pro bono basis. In fact, I've attended a White House workshop on that topic, and we think they're all connected. And our other constituency is veterans. We have another company called Benevets that we built the software for. It's the most advanced system that helps those who help veterans file their claims with the VA. So we handle all that. We're the only company that can actually send a claim electronically to the VA with our system. So all of these constituents, what's interesting is they're all connected. All of them are constituents trying to re-enter society, right? So you have inmates, incarcerated people, homeless people, and veterans all reentering society. And education plays a very big role in doing that. So we're big on that, and we spend significant resources in helping organizations in the field, in the trenches, to implement it properly. So that's one thing we do. Another thing that I'm involved in personally is I've been working very hard with the Business Executives for National Security, or BENS. And we are an organization about 500 strong nationally. We bring best business practices to government agencies in helping them solve their biggest national security challenges. So I have a great deal of interest in those kind of issues because I grew up as a Navy brat. My dad hunted Russian submarines, so I kind of grew up in that whole Cold War thing. So it's really a neat group. We actually do projects for the government. We mentor senior officials. We work at the cabinet level or at the very senior military level. We've worked with Director Comey at FBI, with DHS Secretary Kelly, who was at U.S. Southern Command when we worked with him there, and folks like that. And we help them see some of their problems with different eyes. Mm-hmm. So in Atlanta is a very good place to get talent like that because we have a very heavy fintech community here. knows a lot about money laundering, a lot about, you know, terrorist financing, and we're able to help the government understand how money really moves around the world and how they can interdict that. So that's one thing we do. I'm also working on a project with CDC and the Georgia Department of Public Health. It's a project that involves a strategic national stockpile, which is an inventory of antidotes in the case of a terrorist or a biological attack or epidemic, and a way to distribute drugs to the population. So we're helping, as Benz is helping them develop that network, that distribution network, in a much more efficient way, for example. So there's those kind of projects we get involved in.
You know, Mike, it would be nice if Dave was doing something interesting, right? I mean, we could sit here and talk to him for hours, I think, right?
Yeah, kudos to you for your non-business activities. but I do have to ask the follow-up question, you know, when we get back to the businesses that you work with, they have very unique problems that they're just struggling trying to figure out how to solve. And as you say, they can't just Google them. So how do you find your prospects? How do you find your clients?
It's hard. What we've done in the past is lots of networking.
Because a lot of these companies don't want people to know they have some issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think almost all the business we've ever gotten is from referrals. In the last year or two, I've started doing a lot more speaking engagements. I do a lot of talks on futuristic topics like autonomous car ecosystems and things like that are of interest to me. And they're interesting topics too. The other thing that we've just started doing is a lot more social selling with our online. So we're doing a lot more content creation, more thought leadership creation out there. And that's already driving traffic. You know, we're not just technology people too. We're investors. We help some of our customers find investment money. We're inventors. You know, we have a patent portfolio of 4 patents in natural language understanding on mobile devices that we're working on monetizing right now. So we know a lot about a lot of different things outside of technology and how it ties together. And we help our clients with those things too.
Great. Well, Dave, great stuff for those businesses that have been listening. Go, you know what? I need to talk to this guy. Where can they find out more information about your company and reach out to you?
A great place to go would be our website, which is intellectiongroup.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
Great. Dave Bernard, the CEO of the Intellection Group. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, John.
Mike Roswell Infinity is one of the original Infinity dealerships in the country, and they aim to provide top-notch customer service and are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment, whether purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter.
All right, John, our third and final guest here on the program is Angela Ellington, and the company is Moistura Silk. Good morning, Angela.
Morning, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Talk about Moistura Silk. What are we talking about here?
Yes. Moistura Silk is a multicultural brand that provides products for all hair types, from straight to very curly. Our first launch actually just occurred in February, where consumers as well as styling versatility. Moistura Silk is also a brand that's going to be very active in the community as far as supporting women in science. As a chemist, it's very important that the brand stay connected to educate and bring awareness specifically to cosmetic science.
Okay. With all due respect, you're talking to a couple guys here, John and myself. So you're talking about hair care products. Are you marketing specifically to just women, or is there men products as well?
Well, we know for certain that men do use our products.
Okay.
But the target has been women, because we also know that men tend to use their significant other's products.
No.
In the privacy of their home,
right? In the privacy of their home. And so, of course, we welcome all users.
What makes this product different from other things that may be out there on the market?
Our innovative approach, which includes a sensorial approach to hair care. And when we say sensorial approach to hair care, it's really a beauty experience that does not compromise the feel or the look of hair. And so what we wanted to do is not just focus on the technical needs or the key attributes as far as moisturization or the opportunity to have styling versatility. we also want to make certain that the consumer's perception of those key attributes are met. So we like to say beauty experience with uncompromised feel and look of hair.
So, Angela, talk about your experience in this industry. You're a chemist, you say. So talk about where you've come from and why you saw this need in the market.
Yes. Well, this is going on my 31 year in the industry. 28 of those years has been working with global leader on cosmetic manufacturing in the industry. My most recent job prior to starting Moisture Silk was with L'Oreal USA, where I was the assistant vice president of ethnic research and innovation. There, I led a team of scientists in the creation of international brands that supported the conglomerate North America, Europe, Brazil, and Africa operations. During that time, I also was the inventor of several patents to support hair care in the industry.
31 years in the industry. What, would you start when you were three? How does that
course,
work?
My of goodness. Course.
Wow. She must have some anti-aging products
well,
as well,
apparently
right?
Moisture so, Silk yeah. is really working.
Yes.
Yes. How would a customer of yours or a potential customer, at what point would they realize maybe they need that product? What would they be experiencing where it's like, you know what, I need to start using this?
We always say there's key signs. You look in the mirror. If you don't see what you like, then you need Moisture Silk. But more specifically All than right. that, more specific.
Did you bring some with you? Because John and I could use some right away.
Of course, of course.
She's a chemist that can sell, isn't she?
Yes, yes. But one of the key things that we notice, or consumers would notice instantly, is if their hair is feeling somewhat dry or they're having frizz challenges, they're having challenges with frizz or they're having challenges with breakage, then they know that they need to look at Moisture Silk, give it a try, and know that it will act as a moisturizing agent. It will give some breakage protection, and it will allow them to have their styling versatility, and most important, all of that with their desired feel of hair.
So I want to back up to you starting the company because we've got a lot of business owners as listeners, and you've been through your own journey coming out of a long time in corporate to starting your own company. So talk about some of the things that you've learned about that through that experience.
I can tell you one of the big things that I'm very grateful for is that at L'Oreal, I call it more of corporate entrepreneurship because it was such a great company and a large company. We had opportunities there to act as if we were entrepreneurs of our division.
You know what they call that? Servant leadership. That's what they call that.
Joe's giving the thumbs up sign over here.
Yes. And so that actually prepared me for where I am right now. And so it made it a little less complicated to actually work as an entrepreneur. And in addition, I have put myself in the place where I've had the opportunity to network and meet individuals like John, who has extensive, background when it comes to entrepreneurship and other entrepreneurship like-minded people. So I have found that that has helped a lot to immerse myself in those environments as I continue to work towards what is truly a passion of mine.
So one of the you mentioned a company like L'Oreal. L'Oreal's a major company, and talk about how you can find a place that in this market that L'Oreal has not already exploited. I mean, because I'm sure there's got to be some skepticism. People hear this and wonder about that. Talk about.
Well, that's one of the challenges you have. I'm sure there are people looking at the names that they're familiar with, and your name is still growing.
Exactly. And see, for me, I believe that there's a place for, several different types of products. And when I say several different types of products, of course, the category itself, hasn't changed. It's hair care. You're going to have shampoos. You're going to have conditioners. But as I mentioned earlier, the position for me is a more intimate position where we're bringing on a sensorial experience. And with what that sensorial experience allows me to do is have a little bit more intimacy with my consumers, meaning hearing and understanding how they like the hair to feel. A lot of times with the large companies, they can provide key attributes and benefits that are centered around their need gaps. More specifically, if the individual needs moisturization or if they need anti-breakage products. However, when we start speaking of the perception of how that consumer perceives those results is where we now open up a new area, affording opportunities of smaller entrepreneurs or newly found entrepreneurs like myself to actually, I consider it, walk with the consumer. So this sensorial experience allows me to walk with the consumer to understand the difference of what moisturization means to various consumers. Moisturization for me can mean my hair feels like cotton. Moisturized silk to you, Mike, could mean that it feels like silk. You see, they're both are soft, but they have a different feel. And so that is the advantage that I have over the competitors is my positioning and my extensive research and consumer insights that would allow me to really walk into this new position.
It says here in the notes, it's a multicultural product. So any kind of hair, this should help you.
Yes, any kind of hair.
All right. The most important question is, where can people find these products?
Moisturesilk.com.
So it's everything's online. You won't find it in the stores right now. It would be online.
Coming soon to
a store near you.
Stores near you.
Yes. All right. So give the website again. That's the most important thing.
Moisturesilk.com.
And you can order it and ship anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Okay, because we have listeners all over the place.
It's a good thing we go all over the world,
we
right?
We do go all with over this, the world. Yeah, so you'll ship to Canada?
Will do.
Mexico?
Will do.
Afghanistan?
Will do. All paying customers.
Okay. There's the key.
As long as the credit card clears, right?
Exactly.
Now, before we let you go, though, Angela, I've got to come back to one thing. You talked about women, trying to promote women in science. You know, I've got a daughter. Mike's got a daughter. We're interested in opening up fields for our daughters. Talk about what you're doing in that regard, because that piqued my attention.
Yes. Our first initiative is actually going to be co-hosted by the Women in STEAM at Georgia Tech. So we're very excited about this. This will happen in August. We're a partner with four other amazing scientists so that we can begin to share our experiences in cosmetic industry. And a lot of it is to give support to an area that is still not as identified or populated with women, although we buy more of the products. Isn't that quite interesting? And so here we wanted to educate, bring awareness based on our careers, and then we will go from there and provide camps so that we can have fun, make shampoos, and just show how some of the things that you do in every day also ties into hair care products.
That's great stuff, Mike.
Yep. Well, Angela, congratulations on your success, continued success, and thank you for coming on. I never thought we'd be talking hair care on Business Radio X, but it was great stuff. And to learn about you and running the business and starting it and so forth, we hope you have continued success and continue to grow.
Thank you. And I do want to say that, Mike, your hair looks really good. So I know you are using someone's shampoo.
I saw his order form. He's over there logging in.
Flattery.
While you were talking, Angela.
Well, I think for that, she gets an extra 5 minutes of conversation here on air. Now, thank you very much. And of course, yours looks good. So I'm guessing you're using Moisturous Silk.
Of course.
All right, Angela Ellington with Moisturous Silk here on North Fulton Business Radio. I want to thank her for joining us on the program. Also want to thank our other guests for joining us as well. Dave Bernard with the Intellection Group and Joe Iarocci with Cairnway here on North Fulton Business Radio. All right, want to thank all our listeners as well. A reminder, you can listen to this show or any of our other shows on North Fulton Business Radio X at North Fulton Business Radio X. We're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. Follow us there. All our shows are available to download on iTunes. So be a fan and continue to support Business Radio X. John, any final words before I say goodbye?
Yeah, go on iTunes and give us a review. We're looking for reviews, right?
Yep, reviews, subscribers, all that good stuff.
We're looking for all of it. We need more than just my mother and your mother, so, right?
Yeah, and my daughter and your daughter as well. All right, until next time, for John Ray and Trey Odom, I'm Mike Salmon, and we'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.